Today's lay reader is Ella Lane.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 21. So we try to persuade people, since we know what it means to fear the Lord. We are well known by God, and I hope that in your heart we are well known by you as well. We aren't trying to commend ourselves to you again. Instead, we are giving you an opportunity to be proud of us so that you could answer those who take pride in superficial appearance and not in what is in the heart. If we are crazy, it's for God's sake. If we are rational, it's for your sake. The love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this. One died for the sake of all, therefore all died. He died for the sake of all, so that those who are alive should live not for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. So then, from this point on, we won't recognize people by human standards, even though we used to know Christ by human standards. That isn't how we see him now. So then, if anyone is in Christ, that person is part of the new creation. The old things have gone away, and look, new things have arrived. All of these new things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ by not counting people's sins against them. He has trusted us with this message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors who represent Christ. God is negotiating with you through us. We beg you, as Christ's representatives, be reconciled to God. God caused the one who didn't know sin to be sin for our sake, so that through him we could become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Ella. Last Sunday, we looked at why reconciliation is so difficult. To summarize briefly, when sin entered the history of mankind from Adam, all humans inherited their sinful nature, which began the history of hatred and murder that continues to this day. However, because Christ has accomplished the greatest demonstration of reconciliation at the cross, reconciliation is possible not only between man and God, but also between all men. Nevertheless, many stories of reconciliation that might warm our hearts are less frequent and highlighted less compared to stories of hatred, retaliation, and injustices, and that makes it harder to believe reconciliation can ever be possible. Therefore, it is crucial we need to discern our current situation in a biblical perspective. We are surely living in a broken and divided world. We are divided by language, by the way we look, by the color of our skin. And more than that, we are divided personally and spiritually, one from the other. The problem, of course, is sin. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2 says, "Your sin has separated you from God." However, we clearly believe that in Jesus Christ, all these words of separation can be broken down. and can bring us back together. If sin is the divider, Jesus Christ is the reconciler. Jesus Christ overcame sin and death through his death on the cross, so that we too, united in Jesus Christ, may overcome sin and death. Amen. Hallelujah. When are we going to understand that the answer to the deepest problems that we have in the world today is not to be found with our government leaders, bipartisan political leaders, and even religious leaders, with, including me? The answer is with Jesus Christ, who came 2,000 years ago, not to separate, but to bring people back to God and to bring people together who have been separated by sin. Today, we will look at how we can bring reconciliation, even though it is hard and difficult. Let me remind you first that some of you may think of reconciliation and forgiveness are synonymous. But biblical reconciliation always means the restoration of a relationship beyond forgiveness. If forgiveness always means letting go of the past, reconciliation means focusing more on the future and restoring a relationship of friendship and trust. Long time ago, reconciliation happened at a church where I served. A lay member who was close to me broke my heart. So I prayed to God to forgive her, and I thought that I had forgiven her. After a while, I went to a personal retreat to pray and rejuvenate. But while I was praying, that lay member kept coming to my mind. I told God, "Lord, you know that I have already forgiven her." But it repeated a few times. I was thinking that Satan was interfering with my prayers. But in deep prayer, I realized that although I forgave her, I had not fully reconciled with her because I had not restored the relationship we used to have. I instantly repented to the Lord and asked for his help to restore our relationship. After that, when I came back to church and saw that person, surprisingly, I felt my heart fill with love. So I went to her and hugged her. Then she also hugged me, saying thank you so sincerely. Since then, our relationship has been fully restored. In today's scripture, we can find several reasons that can make reconciliation possible. First, reconciliation is possible because the love of Christ urges us on. Verse 14 says, For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. Paul was currently dealing with those who had challenged his apostolic authority in the Corinthian church. Paul defended that he was not serving the church to gain honor and money. Rather, because of Christ's love for him and his love for Christ. In fact, after he met the risen Lord on the way to Damascus, his only motivation for his ministry was his love for Christ, even in the severe persecution from Romans and his fellow Jewish leaders. It is not easy at all to live as reconcilers in order to follow Paul, who was following Jesus Christ's example. But we can do it. Why? Because the love of Christ compels us, urges us on. Through the love of Christ, not only we can bring people back together, but also we can be back together with whom we have been separated for a long time. Second, reconciliation is possible because we no longer live under a worldly perspective. Verse 16 says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. We sometimes make snap judgments on how people look and dress. You all dress wonderfully, so you look so pretty and beautiful and handsome. And what kind of car they drive, and who they spend time with. That extends to culture, language, and skin color as well. But now, as followers of Jesus Christ, we no longer live under that worldly perspective. First, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, God said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Paul was saying in the context like this, before I came to Christ, I took pride in my Jewish background, but now all that has changed. The things I once bragged about, I count at a loss. It doesn't matter at all. How can I hate someone for whom Christ died? If Jesus died for all, then I must love all people, even those most different from me. So we must constantly pray to God to help us to see others through Lord's eye. Third, reconciliation is possible because we became a new creation in Jesus Christ. Amen. In verse 17 says, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. When we began to believe Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we became a new creation. God gave us a new heart in place of the old one. And that new heart gives us a new desire to serve God and others for whom Jesus died. And we began to live under a new way of seeing and a new way of lifestyle. When I was called to ministry long ago, I doubted I could be a pastor because of the cultural barriers of prejudice that most Koreans had. I was raised in a culture where women should not be on the pulpit. I told God, Lord, it is going to be a challenging journey, even though I say yes to your call. I hope you know what you are doing here. When I first shared it with close friends of the Baptist church I attended, no one encouraged my vision of becoming a pastor, except my David. He's not here today. I miss him. At that time, the Korean immigrant church in America still maintained the male-centered culture, and there were hardly any female pastors. I went to seminary where I was one of few female students there. After graduation, I began to serve at the Baptist Community Church that was a Korean dominant church. I was in charge of church education and new members as an associate pastor, but never had an opportunity to preach the word at the pulpit. One day, I consulted with the senior pastor that I had a great desire to preach the word of God within me, and I would like to minister as a pastor in the future. The first response he gave was that it would be difficult for me to minister in that church if I want to become an ordained pastor. I was deeply wounded and began to blame others and myself and even God. I cried out, I knew it and you knew it, that it was going to be a difficult journey in this reality where I am at by cultural prejudices, language barriers, and my lack of courage. Nevertheless, Lord, I cannot give up. I will not give up because the Holy Spirit is still urging me to pursue that direction. Lord, help me not to give up. However, do you know what was the hardest thing for me? It was I couldn't picture myself as a pastor on the pulpit. I was still not confident in claiming my identity as a preaching pastor. After praying continuously, I decided to transfer to the United Methodist Church and was able to begin my ordination process. 6 years later, as I prepared my papers and interviews for the Board of Ordained Ministry, surprisingly, I realized that the prejudice against female pastors was deeply, deeply rooted within me. It may have been unconsciously formed while I was growing up in Korea through educational, cultural, and societal influences. With the help of the Holy Spirit, I went through a healing process and was finally able to break down the walls of prejudice that I have constructed within me. Of course, it took a lot of prayer and courage, but I was finally able to claim my identity as a pastor confidently. Amen. Now, here I am, preaching the word of God on the pulpit. Hallelujah. Some of you may say, we will see about that. It is important to remember that we are the new creation with a new way of seeing and lifestyle. When you come to Christ, you have eyes to see what you never saw before. So we need to begin our day with this daily prayer. Lord, thank you for making me a new creation. Help me to live like one who has been made new and to see your loving presence in me, in others, and nature all around me this day. Lastly, reconciliation is possible because God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Paul says in verse 18 that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and he has given us the message and ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we are to take the message out of this place onto the streets in our community. We must tell them they don't have to hate each other, fight each other, because there is a better way, better way. Dear congregant, our Lord challenges us today that it is not enough just to come to church and worship the Lord. We have to go out and be agents of reconciliation in the world. People are now eagerly waiting to hear the message of reconciliation in a hurrying and divided world. Of course, we cannot change the world at once. But if each of us faithfully practices the ministry of reconciliation in our life, the world can be gradually transformed. Just as the Lord expected the world to be changed through a handful of his disciples, even today, our Lord expects the world to be changed through you and me. One of us may seem very small and weak, but like a grain of wheat falls and produces many fruits, one becomes two, and then becomes three, and then we will eventually change the world. Amen. I am going to close my sermon with these questions. As Christ's ambassador during this week, to whom will you go to reconcile with them? To whom will you go to say, I forgive you, or forgive me? To whom will you go to say, I love you? Let us pray. In a silent moment, pray to God to show you to whom our Lord is sending you. At this moment, embrace those who God is bringing into your heart and pray for them. If possible, try your best to reach out to them during the week and let them know you care about them. Amen.